turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. You can find this text on page 1813 in the Pew Bible provided there for you if you'd like to read along as we look at this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. That's why we call it the book of Galatians. Did want you to know Pastor Heron was going to lead tonight, but Pastor Phillips filled in for him. Pastor Heron did, he was diagnosed with COVID. He has very mild symptoms and is doing great, but he is home quarantined with his family, and we think he's lying and he's just trying to get out of being here. But Pastor Ken McHurd will be preaching for Mike this Sunday morning as well. So we continue to pray for his speedy recovery. So this is the Christmas season in which you start to receive a lot of gifts. What happens when you get a gift that you don't want or didn't need? Do you know how to respond? Well, I'm here to help you tonight. I'm going to give you some responses that when you get that gift you didn't want or didn't need, you can say these. They'll be honest, and you can get away with your disappointment, okay? Let me show you what I mean. Some of these you'll use tonight. So, for instance, somebody gives you that gift, you say, well, 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 now what a gift, right? That's totally safe. You can do that. How about this one? You know what? I'm going to find a special place for this. It works. You can try these at home. And then you could say, boy, you just don't see craftsmanship like that anymore, right? You can say that. It's not often you see craftsmanship like that. My goodness, where did you ever find this? Safe, wonderful question. This is so unique. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite like this. Some of you should be writing these down. You're going to need these. Wow, wow, wow. How did you ever think of such a unique gift? And maybe the best one of all, I've said the best for the last. You shouldn't have. No, no, really, you shouldn't have. Okay, so you can practice these if you want. But what about God's gift, the gift of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift you desperately need, the gift you desperately want? What is the Christian response to God sending His Son as the gift we all need and want, the gift that truly satisfies? Well, I can think of three responses. The wise men bow down in worship at the gift of Christ the child. Mary proclaims, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Or maybe my favorite, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, listen to this, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. It's such a gift, we can't find the words to quite exclaim how grateful we are and how wonderful God's gift is to us. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Paul is going to describe for us here in Galatians 4 attributes of the gift that we have when God sent His Son to us. I want you to read it with me, Galatians chapter 4, 4 through 8, and listen to the very word of God as this gift of God is described for us. Paul says, but when the time had fully come, in other words, when the time was perfect, according to God's sovereign plan, when we were desperately in need. That's what Paul means. So when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Let's pray together. Oh, Holy Spirit, in these few minutes we have together, would you open our eyes and hearts to see how great the gift of the Son is. Capture our hearts again this night to believe the truth of how much God the Father loved us in sending his Son. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our series this Christmas season has been A Weary World Rejoices. Are you weary tonight? We've touched on over the last several weeks how God in sending Jesus in Advent is the antidote, is the solution, is the hope, the joy, the peace, the love that weary people need. And just think about 2021. Think about the hatred, think about viruses, think about the human trafficking that we know is so rampant in our world. Think about killings, think about persecutions in the church, lawlessness in the streets, broken relationships, injustice, mental illness that affects every single family in some way that will be gathered this Christmas season. It makes us weary. We've lost loved ones. It's a tough world. Are you weary? To a weary world, Paul says to the Galatian church, I want to describe to you just how much you have in the gift of the Son. And there's five words I want to give you briefly this evening that in this text, Paul would say are ours because of the gift of the Son. Incarnation. Justification, redemption, adoption, and one that might surprise you, verification or confirmation is a better word. Now, let's look at each of these briefly. God sent his Son born of a woman. It's the incarnation where God the Son, God sent the Son. That means that the Son has always existed. Jesus the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit existed in eternity. One God in three persons. But God the Son, always being the Son, was sent by the Father, but born of woman, incarnation. He took on flesh. God knew that only God could save, but only in the form of a son who came to earth and took on human flesh would this new life in Jesus Christ even be possible. Born of a woman. What does that tell us this evening about the incarnation? Just simply this. God with skin on him, Jesus Christ, has felt everything you feel. He has experienced every emotion and pain and suffering. He has been tempted by every single sin, yet he is without sin, but he identifies with you fully. You get this incarnational gift in Jesus because God loves you so much. He sent his Son. Secondly, justification. Jesus was born under the law, Paul says. Now, what does that have to mean? It means that in God's economy, in the Old Testament, when Moses was given the law, that God was giving his perfect standard for what righteousness looked like. God's standard, a perfect standard that no one could live up to, that we understand it best described as Jesus said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Who could possibly live up to that? But when the Son of God became flesh and was born under the law, Paul is saying to us here that Jesus was living up to the perfect standard of God. We call it the great exchange. Where Jesus came in sinless humanity and he lived up to God's perfect standard in our place. He took all our sin on him. We place all our sin on Him, and He places His robes of righteousness on us. And God looks at us in Jesus Christ, and He says, perfect, justified, because My Son lived the law on your behalf. God's law was an impossible standard. We stood condemned under the wrath of the weight of the perfection of God. We could not achieve it. You know, maybe you've had this experience. If you're driving down Alexander Drive and you're going to cross over Riverwatch into the Costco area, if you pull up to that traffic light, I promise you it doesn't take long enough. When it turns green, by the time you get out in the middle of the parking lot, it turns red. You physically can't get over to the other side without running the red light unless you have a Tesla or a sports car or something. So multiple times the light turns green, I pull out, and it's red, and I'm stuck there. I can't meet the standard. It's an impossible standard. You and I couldn't meet the standard, but Jesus passed the test for us. And God looks at us and says, you are just because you are in My Son. And when God sees us in His Son, Jesus, we are as holy in God's sight as Jesus is. Jesus passed the test for us. And so John Wesley, that hymn we love to sing, let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us in His blood, and you are justified. Now, what does that mean practically? It means this. For people who are desperately, all day, every day, trying to put their best front on for others so that people only see us as we hope they will see us, and for people who are desperately trying to hide all the bad and the shame and the sin of your lives, you don't have to hide anymore. Your record is perfect in the sight of God if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What do you have to hide? What do you have to be ashamed of? What do you have to fear? Why do you need man's approval when you've been given the gift of the Son and you are justified? You don't have to be afraid of God anymore. He's not your enemy now. You've been reconciled to Him because Jesus lived and died perfectly in your place. Third word, redemption. You see what it says here? Jesus Christ, God sent His Son. Look at the text with me. To redeem those, verse 5, who were under the law. Redeem those under the law. Redemption. He purchased us back from slavery to the devil, from bondage to sin, from eternal judgment. This was our lot. But when Jesus came and gave His own blood for us as the gift of God, He purchased us. He purchased our pardon. He purchased our redemption. And so we now are no longer slaves. We are no longer afraid. We no longer have to live in the shadows. We no longer have to be bound by guilt and shame because Jesus rescued us from all of that. It's called redemption. You don't have to feel dirty anymore if you know Jesus because God sent His Son to redeem you. Fourth word, adoption. Now here's the incredible thing. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to become flesh so that He could identify with you and live and die in your place, to make sure that you are justified before a holy God, to redeem you from sin and slavery to the devil. But that wasn't enough for God. He wants you to be in His family. He wants you to call Him Father. He wants you to call Him Abba, a term of intimacy. He wants to know you and protect you as a son or daughter of God. Now, did you notice it says sons, sons, sons? What about the women? Is this sexist language? What's going on here? Paul is referring to inheritance language. And the firstborn son got it all. But Paul says in the new economy in Jesus, men and women are the equal as firstborn sons of God. You get all the benefits of being children of the Father. You don't have to live like an orphan anymore. You don't have to doubt the Father's love anymore. You can call God Dad because He sent His Son for you. Incarnation, justification, redemption, adoption, and the last one, confirmation. Now, if it wasn't enough that Jesus became flesh to identify with you and live and die in your place, to justify you and redeem you so that you could be adopted sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God your Father loves you so much that He wants to continue to convince you of His love. We are so prone to doubt. We are so prone to worry. We are so prone to be afraid. We look at our performance and we say, how could God love us? And so God sent not just the Son. Did you see what the text said? Look down with me at it again. You are sons because God, verse 6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. It was not enough for God to just adopt you as sons. He sent His Holy Spirit also because He wanted to convince you, like every good parent would want to convince their children of their love. God doesn't want you to doubt either. And so the Holy Spirit, day after day after day, moment after moment after moment, is in your heart saying, it really is true. Doesn't matter your past. Doesn't matter your doubts. Doesn't matter your shame. Come out of the darkness into the light because God loves you. And the Holy Spirit just testifies to our hearts over and over and over, as Romans 8 says, we are beloved sons and daughters of God. I saw a story recently that I want to share with you as we close here. It's a story about a man named Ike Brown. Ike was the father of Isaac Brown, 21-year-old son Isaac. They were in Jacksonville, 2002. Isaac, 21 years old, his good friend Jeffrey Hicks were at somebody else's house. They were playing video games. There was another man that came and sat there and was watching for a little bit. His name was Tekoya Kreiner. Tekoya Kreiner sat and watched the boys play video games for a while before taking up a gun and shooting and killing the boys in the room. The boys didn't even know Tekoya Kreiner that well, according to others who knew the situation, but Tekoya Kreiner was brought before the courts, sentenced to 3 life sentences. One of the boys killed was Isaac, Isaac Brown. The father's name was Ike Brown. Ike was a retired police officer in Jacksonville. Ike describes the hatred that was in his heart thinking as he went to this trial that he was going to go watch every day. What parent wouldn't want to kill this guy? I want to hate this guy. I cannot believe that Tekoya Kreiner would kill my son. He walked there that day to watch the trial thinking revenge, thinking hate for crimes committed against his son, which were horribly unjust. But in his own words, Ike, the former police officer, says this: when the day came for court and I saw Tekoya Kreiner for the first time, he says, I can't tell you what happened, but I just loved him. Instead of the hate, instead of the anger, I felt compassion. He said, I can't explain it. I didn't have the feelings I thought I was going to have. I thought I was going to be angry. I thought I wanted to say, I hate you. I thought I wanted to say, die, but I felt none of that. Instead of my feelings of retribution, I felt feelings of love. Well, as I mentioned to you, Tekoya Kreiner was sentenced for 3 life sentences and went to prison. But Ike Brown could not get this idea out of his mind. As he grieved the loss of his son, he no longer hated the one who killed his son. So he thought to himself, I want to write him a letter, just expressing to him, I forgive you. But he thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and after 3 months, he finally wrote the letter. He didn't know how Takoya Kreiner was going to even receive the letter. But here is what Ike Brown wrote to Takoya Kreiner. He said, I miss my son. I miss him terribly. But I wonder if you would fill in for my son until we get to heaven. I wonder if I could adopt you as a son. He didn't know how Takoya Kreiner would receive that letter. Would he curse him? Would he respond? Would he hate him? Here's what Kreiner says. After he received his letter, he said, Dear Mr. Brown, I now know that God is real. I told him if I heard from you, I would give him my life for the rest of my days. You asked me to fill in for your son, that you would adopt me as one of your sons. I want you to know I'm not worthy of this. I'm not qualified. But if you'll still have me, Kreiner says, from this point on, you are my dad. I am your son. There's a video. You can find it online. You can watch this story. But Ike Brown goes to the prison, and the two of them, of course, Takoya Kreiner in locks, in chains, shackled, but they embrace, and the two men know Jesus, and they pray together, and they read the Bible together, and Ike Brown goes to the prison every time he can because he wants Takoya to know it's really true. I'm taking you on in place of my son. That's Christianity. God the Father. I mean, it's hard, right? It's hard to believe these kinds of stories. Who would do such a thing? And then we go, oh yeah, I know. God the Father. You and I, we killed his son. You know that, right? It was our sin that put Christ on the cross. We killed his son. He sends his son to redeem us, to justify us, to adopt us into the family. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to come to our prison of doubt and remind us day after day after day, in the gift of my son, you're now an adopted child of God, and I love you. What is our response to that kind of gift? I think it's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9. I'll read it to you again. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. That's yours if you're a Christian. That gift can be yours this night if you will come to Jesus by faith. Let us pray together. Our gracious God, we love your word. It is so overpoweringly wonderful and beautiful. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that convinces us that in the gift of the Son, we have everything we need and long for. And now we are no longer slaves, but sons and daughters of the King of Kings, who calls us to call him Father. We bless you this night and love you because you loved us first. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.